السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, we all know that today is the second day of the month of Muharram. Our Islamic calendar begins with the month of Muharram. Our Islamic year begins with the month of Muharram, and our Islamic calendar began with the Hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this is something that we discuss every year when we come to the month of Muharram, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to the fast of Ramadan being farz, he used to fast on the 10th of Muharram, and also the 10th of Muharram fast was made an obligatory fast for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, before the month of Ramadan, the fast of the month of Ramadan became farz. It was farz and compulsory upon the Muslims to fast on the 10th of Muharram. After the obligation of the Ramadan fast, then it became an optional fast. If a person wants to keep and observe the fast of the 10th of Muharram, then he will be greatly rewarded. But nobody was criticized or ridiculed or teased or mocked if he did not observe the fast. But the condition of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and himself was this, that they anxiously awaited the fast of the 10th of Muharram, because it was a very blessed day in the Islamic calendar. So when it comes to all other activities of life, then there we are very strong, we are very powerful, we have great strength and energy, and we have the himmat and the courage to do many things. But when it comes to fasting on the 10th of Muharram or keeping other sunnat fasts, then we say that we are not like the Sahaba-e-Kiram. At that time we become very weak. So it is not compulsory, no doubt. But it has got great benefit, great reward. So if a person observes a fast on the 10th of Muharram, then he will be following a practice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to the fast of Muharram, the 10th of Muharram, when he came to Madinah Tayyibah, then he saw the Jews were observing this fast also. So he asked them that, why are you observing this fast of the 10th of Muharram? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked the Muslims to fast on this day. So they said, because this is the day that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation from Fir'aun. He crossed the Red Sea. On this day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him salvation. So therefore we are fasting. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, we are more entitled to that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you are. And he told the Sahaba-e-Kiram that if I have to live until next year, then I will add on the fast of the 9th. Now this I have discussed many times, that imagine in ibadat, this is an ibadat, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not even want us to emulate or practice or follow that ibadat which was specific to some other people of the past or to the Ahl-e Kitab. Now in ibadat also he wanted this differentiation, that the Muslim must be recognized by his ibadat also, that this is a Muslim. So then what about all his other activities? Now if we have to look at our businesses, we have to look at our marriages, we have to look at our walimas, we have to look at our birthday parties and engagement parties and this party and that party, there are so many different parties now. And just now there will be Valentine's Day and this day and that day. Now Muslims are mimicking and aping the customary practices of those who are the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet we will claim that we have got great love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now even here in Ibadat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not want us to mimic them and to follow them. He said, if I have to live next year, I will add on the fast of the 9th. That is the reason why it has been said that you keep the fast of the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he observed this fast. Yawm-e Ashura got its significance long, long before the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is no doubt that his martyrdom was a very, very tragic incident in the history of Islam. But the 10th of Muharram did not get its significance because of that martyrdom. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was extremely lucky and very, very fortunate and very blessed that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him shahadat on the 10th of Muharram, adding to the great, great rewards that a shaheed will be getting. His rewards will be increased because he was martyred on the 10th of Muharram. So that is another issue which we can discuss at length, but there is no time to go into that. So firstly, it is the month of Muharram, which is one of those four sacred months mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Zilqada, Zilhijjah, Muharram and Rajab. Inna iddata shuhura inda Allah isna asara shahran fi kitabillah. So in that ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refers to these 4 months. It is one of the sacred months. In this month, many, many incidents took place. As we have learned from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala released him from the bondage of Firaun. His people were released from the bondage. Many more rakhin and those people who have written history, they have mentioned many other incidents that have taken place on this 10th of Muharram, but many of those are not authentic, not reliable. However, since no hukam is based on that, it is not some law that we are basing on that, therefore it has been discussed. For example, they say that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was created on the 10th of Muharram. Allah Ta'ala gave him birth, caused him to be born on the 10th of Muharram. He was entered into Jannat on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was forgiven on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the fire of Namrud, he was given protection on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, from his sickness and from his illness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with cure on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was given his huge kingdom on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his ascension to the heavens was on the 10th of Muharram. And many, many other such incidents. However, as I said, that many of them are not reliable, not authentic. But the authentic one is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgave an ummat in the past, and Allah ta'ala will again forgive in future. From that we learn and we deduce that it is a day in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the tawbah of a people. Allah ta'ala really loves and dearly loves His creation. Allah does not want to see anyone from His creation burn in the fire of hell. What pleasure will that give to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala, who is the creator, what pleasure will it give to Him? A person manufactures, he invents, he creates something, he develops something. And it is something that is unique also. It's not some mass production thing. Something unique. And then he just destroys it. What would we think of that person? So if man will not do such a silly thing, that he comes up with something that is unique, and thereafter suddenly just destroys it, or enjoys the destruction of his unique production, then you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the creator of man, he will enjoy this paragon of creation, man, whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says created with his own hands. Of course, Allah ta'ala's hands are not like human beings' hands. It means with his qudrat and power. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's unique creation, that is man, will Allah ta'ala just enjoy seeing that man burn in the fire of Jahannam? So therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates the opportunities. This is what I've been repeatedly saying, that look at the month of Ramadan, it's an opportunity for tawbah. The day of Jumu'ah, it's an opportunity for tawbah. The night of Bara'at is an opportunity for tawbah. Laylatul Qadr, an opportunity for tawbah. The two Eids, the eves of the Eid, and so many other days and nights and everything else is for tawbah. When a person is going for Hajj, it is for nothing else except tawbah and forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive. Therefore we say, make tawbah, make istighfar. Plead and ask and beg of Allah Ta'ala. Multazam is for the acceptance of du'as. The Hatim for acceptance of du'as. The Mataf for acceptance of du'as. The Hajri Aswad for acceptance of du'as. The Muqam Ibrahim, the Zamzam, the Musafa and Marwa, Mina, and especially Arafat is for what else but the acceptance of du'as and for forgiveness of a person's sins. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so loving. But if we want to burn ourselves, then we don't blame anybody else but ourselves. If the child is continuously warned that don't go close to the fire, you'll get burned. But the child enjoys going and putting its hand or disobeying the parent, then you don't blame the parent for that. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives another opportunity, that is the 10th of Muharram, that it is for the acceptance of du'as, for forgiveness of sins. The person repents and turns towards Allah Ta'ala. Then we say, as I said, that very briefly, the second issue here is about the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That the Islamic calendar could have begun from any other incident. As you know by now, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the one who was making mashwara, he was consulting with his companions at that time, that we have to have a calendar. So from where should we begin? So somebody suggested that it should begin with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what incident could have been more significant for entire mankind than the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? There would have been no universe, there would have been no heaven and earth, there would have been no Qibla and Kaaba if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had not been created. Na masjid na masjid ke unche minare, na Qibla na Kaaba na Makkah Madina. Na masjid na masjid ke unche minare, na Qibla na Kaaba na Makkah Madina. Gar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota. It is with the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we are enjoying the fruits. It is only with his barakat, with his rahmat, with his mercy that Allah Ta'ala has protected us. If not, then our sins are such that they are worse than the nations of the past. If it had not been for the rahmat and the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the earth would have split open and swallowed all of us up. We all know what kind of sins we indulge in. What our eyes are seeing, what our ears are listening to, what our tongues are speaking, what our hands are touching, where our feet are walking, what our minds are thinking, what kind of fantasies we are indulging in, even when we are sitting in the masajid, even when we are going into sajdas. Ask those people who are doing some work of Islah and reformation. So our sins are worse. It is just the screen that we have in front of us. But if you have to look at it, that in the nations of the past, when some people committed the type of sins that we are indulging in, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, these type of sins, then thousands of people used to be wiped out from the surface of the earth. For one zina, 70,000 people lost their life in one battle in the Bani Israel. One person committed zina. So it is the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we have our masjids and we have our homes and we have the opportunity to live. So what incident could have been more significant than the Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam's birth to begin the calendar? But yet Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept that. If it had been one of us, then we do not know what would have happened. But here it was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nobody could have said anything. And he knew very well why he did not accept that. Because we will just make it a day of celebration, that's all. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born on these days, and the Islamic calendar begins from that day, so make it a day of celebration and over. Someone suggested the Battle of Badr, somebody suggested other things. Finally, the suggestion that was accepted, that it must begin with the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hijrah, that means this sacrifice that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions made of leaving their hometown, their city, their country, of the city and their homes and their properties and everything behind in Makkah Sharif and migrating to Madina Munawwara. the struggle for survival that they were going through. They had come out of 3 years of ostracism and boycott, where the time had come when the greatest after Allah, he had to also chew leaves of trees for survival. So it is a lesson that it gives to us that there is a struggle in the life of a Muslim. There has to be a struggle. It is not just enjoyment of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and feel very happy that we are in Jannat. If Allah ta'ala gives abundance and blesses with affluence, there's nothing wrong, make shukr over it. But that fight against the nafs, it is a struggle that will go on, this jihad against the nafs. That jihad that they waged in certain countries and certain places, that jihad is going on, where they are fighting for their survival, they are fighting for the defense of Islam. Our jihad in our country may be our literature, our speeches, our invitation to people and defense of Islam in different directions. But that actual jihad which the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala undertook at present in South Africa, we will say that there's nobody that's really persecuting us and torturing us and bombarding us. Why we are Muslims? So at such a time, which jihad do we have to wage? By inviting the people towards Islam, propagating Islam, defending Islam. But at the same time, there's jihad against the nafs. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Raja'ana min al jihadil asghar ila jihadil akbar. After one of the battles, he said, now we have returned from the small jihad to the great jihad. And what is that great jihad? That great jihad and that great fight will continue till a person's dying day. Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Until his death comes, this jihad he will have to wage against his nafs. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. Wal-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Who is a true Muslim? The true Muslim is he with whose hands and with whose speech another Muslim is not hurt. And not only Muslim, even non-Muslims, without any justification, we have got no right to cause them any hurt or injury or pain. Without justification. If the person is a neighbor or is not fighting against you, unnecessarily to trouble just because you're non-Muslim. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he has given so much of rights to the non-Muslims, then how much of rights to the Muslim? So that is a Muslim, that his hands, his feet, his tongue, his eyes, his wealth, his health, his strength, his power that he holds because of his position in society, he does not use any of those things to harm or cause injury or pain to anyone. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimu min lisanihi wa yadihi. And who is the muhajir, the person who is making hijrat? It is very easy these days, we say, I made hijrat and he made nusrat. Hijrat and nusrat, indeed, they are very, very rewarding things. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the true muhajir is that muhajir who stays away from those things which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has declared as prohibited and haram and forbidden. So that hijrat also is greatly rewarding when the person is leaving his hometown, his country and his city because he cannot practice Islam or is going out for the propagation of Islam and for the activities of deen. But this jihad will continue everywhere. Otherwise the person will be engaged in the work of propagation of deen and he will still be engaged in sins and evil actions and deeds. People will be lecturing from the platforms. They will be giving very flowery and beautiful speeches. But after that flowery and beautiful speeches, then they will be stuck and glued to the filth on the television screens. Or they will have their illicit beloveds and their mistresses. And I'm not telling you stories, I'm telling you the truth. We deal with cases so we know. So what kind of propagation is that? And what kind of hijrat is that? Where the person is traveling out for the sake of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he cannot control his gaze at the airports in the aeroplane. He's going for hajj and he's going for umrahs and he's going for other deeni activities and he's indulging in sins of the worst kind. A young person told me himself that he went out for a certain deeni activity. He says, Molna, may Allah ta'ala make me maaf. He says, now I have changed my life. Now I have really understood what deen means. And some kind of noor has come into my heart. He says, but when I was going out at that time, we should travel to America, to England and other places. He said, the first opportunity that I used to get, I used to rush to the bookshop. I used to feign sickness when the other brothers were going out. I used to feign that I am sick. And as soon as they are gone, I find my way to the bookshop. And at that time it was forbidden in this country, or it was prohibited in this country, the filthy magazines and the porn pictures and the filthy sites. So he says that time I used to rush to those bookshops and then page through those magazines. And that was my enjoyment. Now of course that is 1 or 2% of the people doing something wrong, because we don't blame the whole dini organization or society or anjuman for that. If somebody is doing wrong, then blame the individual. Don't blame the organization. Don't blame the work. If somebody is doing wrong in the work of tabligh, then blame that individual, not the tabligh jamaat. If somebody is doing wrong in the khanqah, then blame that individual and not the shaykh and the whole khanqahs. And if somebody is doing wrong in some organization and society, then blame that individual. Our problem is this, that straight away we criticize and condemn that whole organization, that whole project and that whole anjuman. Whereas which anjuman or which society or which organization or which tabligh jamaat or which khanqah teaches that you must commit sins or you must go and steal or that you must commit fraud or that you must not pay up your bills or that you must evade your debts? Which one teaches that? So blame the individual for that. But what I am saying is that this will be the condition. If we don't stay away from sins, then there will be no noor and no rahmat and no barakat in our preaching. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that true muhajir is that person who stays away from those things which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has prohibited. So Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his shahada took place on the 10th of Muharram. But the significance of the 10th of Muharram is not because of that shahada. It was long before that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to observe the fast also on the 10th and to stay away from haram. The Sahaba-e-Kiram looked forward to shahadat. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu prayed for shahadat. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi balade habibik. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted shahadat in his path. So many sahabas, we have no time to go into that. You look at Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If you have to look at his companions, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, shaheed. Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, given poison. Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, made shaheed in Karbala. How many lives were given for the sake of deen and Islam? So let us not go for all those superstitious beliefs that in the month of Muharram you can't undertake any marriage and nikah because it will be bad luck. So there's only bad luck in nikah. But when it's if somebody has to give you a gift or some business transaction where we can make millions, then all the bad luck at that time disappears. Nobody says close businesses for the whole month, it can be bad luck. Bad luck is only when you have to marry. Whereas we should undertake marriage in this month of Muharram. There'll be barakat and rahmat in it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq of amal. Remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the entire ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana.